And now, our feature presentation. Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind. Graphic Audio presents North America's Forgotten Past by W. Michael Gear and Kathleen O'Neill Gear. Narrated by Nanette Savard. With performances by Joseph Thornhill, Karen Novak, Thomas Keegan, Christopher Sheeran, David Coyne, Michael Glenn, Lily Beacon, Yasmin Twazon, Kimberly Gilbert, Thomas Penny, Christopher Graybill, Terrence Aselford, Richard Rowan, Barbara Pinolini, Stephen Carpenter, Eric Messner, James Lewis, Margie Tompros, Ren Casey, Ken Jackson, Elizabeth Jernigan, James Konacek, Colleen Delaney, Sherry Simpson, and Joe Brack. Book 1, People of the Wolf. Part 2.
Wolf Dreamer's keen eyes darted nervously back and forth between the old women, Perrin and Broken Branch. His cheeks had grown hollow, his hair hanging long on either side of his face, accenting his half-starved look. A trace of sorrow lined his young brow. Pain was reflected in the set of his thin-lipped mouth. The shelter glowed softly orange, highlighting Broken Branch's withered face. Perrin leaned forward.
Tell me what you dreamed.
Our people. My vision was hazy and wavering, but I thought I saw them dying.
Perrin cradled her chin in her palms, eyelids lowered. To the side, Broken Branch listened intently.
What else?
There were women captives. Some... No, it just didn't come clearly.
What did you feel?
I felt a presence. Like something was coming, something far over the horizon. Like the long dark, but different. Like night coming from the west instead of the east.
You understand its meaning?
No.
Didn't figure you did. Well, at least you've learned to walk. Now you have to learn some of the motions of the dance.
What?
You've got to learn some grace and stop stumbling around or you'll kill yourself.
Wolf Dreamer frowned, feeling that familiar pit of emptiness and inadequacy spread in his stomach.
I know some things. I called a caribou.
No, that's not what I mean. Everything flails along in its own private dance, but beyond, there's only one dance.
I still don't understand.
Perrin lifted a hand. With a scapula spoon, she dug into the fire. She lifted out glowing coals and spread them over the rock floor next to the hide she sat on. Never letting her gaze leave Wolf Dreamer's eyes, she wiggled her fingers, flexing them into fists as if toning the muscles. She settled herself on her knees over the coals, silver-shot black hair swaying. Lacing her fingers together, she closed her eyes. Serenity slackened her face, the lines softening as if she'd shed long years. Then she reached forward, placing both hands palms down on the coals, shifting her weight full on them. Startled, Wolfdreamer glanced questioningly to Broken Branch, whose attention was on Heron. Fearfully, he turned to look at Heron as she scooped up the coals. She lifted them high over her head. Heron placed the coals to her lips, her forehead. Finally, she put them in her mouth, rolling them around before she spat them out. The coals landed on the hides before her. The pelt browned, blackened, and smoldered, a wisp of smoke rising as hair sizzled, shriveling and stinking. Eyes still closed, a translucent rapture spread across Heron's face. She sat back, relaxed. Wolfdreamer reached out to touch her face. The flesh was smooth and cool beneath his fingers. She opened her eyes, unfocused at first, then blinked. Cocking her head, she turned to Wolfdreamer where he sat, unnerved.
Your hands. Your face.
She lifted and opened, first one hand, then the other. She turned her face, exposing each cheek to the light. Frightened, he reached forward to finger the hole burned in the hide.
How?
Not even a blister.
It can't be. You said there were laws.
Unruffled, Heron scraped the remaining coals and charcoal back into the fire pit, hardly aware of Broken Branch, frozen, face a mask of awe.
Close your mouth, old hag. You'll be catching flies pretty soon.
Broken Branch obeyed without thinking, then scowled.
How'd you do that?
I danced with the coals.
Wolfdreamer watched her, feeling some inkling of her truth pound inside.
With?
Instead of against.
You mean you touched the coals dance? Stepped into their tracks for a moment?
Not exactly. Beneath the coals dance is the one dance. I stepped into the one's moccasins for a moment.
How?
I found the stillness beneath the movement.
Wolfdreamer squeezed the bridge of his nose. The old witch was trying to drive him crazy.
How?
I quit my own dancing.
You quit your...
I knew it. You're about as crazy as they come. You got no mind left at all.
I've been trying to tell you that for weeks.
Wolfdreamer squeezed the hide of his long boots in a death grip, trying to work through his fear.
No mind means no self to get in the way of just moving with the dance?
Sure. No mind frees you to stop your own dancing and move with the one dance.
You must have gotten burned a lot when you first started.
I had welts all the time.
I can't believe I'm asking this. Can I do it?
I wouldn't have showed you if I thought you were too dumb to learn. But it's like crossing a mountain. The climb is hard. You can't understand anything about the whole world until you see the other side. This is another step on the way to ultimate dreaming power.
Another?
Oh, yes. One that you must be able to master, or all the separate dances going around you will eventually trample you to death.
Against the pastel blaze of sunset, Wolfdreamer ran. Down on the distant plain, he could see Heron's hot springs throwing steam high in the air. The mist glowed softly yellow in the evening light.
Run. Run. Center. Focus.
The cold seared his lungs, the dull pain in his chest barely masked by his burning legs. Heron's face swam in his mind.
Clear your mind. Run, Wolfdreamer. Run until your body is oblivious. Until you're outside your mind, looking in. Dance! Dance!
He drifted in and out at first, tendrils of the feeling of freedom, of floating, barely perceptible. Then, he was free, soaring beyond his flesh. In his joy at the accomplishment, the bubble burst. He was back, sensation crawling over his body like a swarm of insects. He bent over. A sweat trickled down his face, steaming in the glacial breeze. Vaguely aware, he took one slow, wobbly step after another. Like a bleached bone, the tongue in his mouth had gone dry. It stuck to the back of his throat. He straightened, scooping the dusting of crystal snow from a hummock of grass into his mouth. He gazed into the distance. A line of white etched the eastern horizon. The big ice.
I need to be there.
Around him, glacial rubble piled high, the haunts of the frozen ghosts. Water had pooled here and there, freezing into slick, snow-covered traps. To the west, the giant mountains shot up in icy splendor. To the east, the big ice had fractured, tilted, and crumpled, a jagged landscape of fissures and edges impossible to traverse. Only to the south did the ice flatten out. The ice to the south drew him. Gray-white outcrops canted, angles rounded, while weird shapes and spears of blue crystal jutted into sharp lances. Layers of sand and gravel streaked the mass, lining the white-blue with black smears. It sent a chill down his spine.
Can I cross it?
He forced his weary muscles to work as he climbed a promontory. The lee side of the rock stretched out in a fan of ice, the cap rock polished, striated, and scoured. To the south, the ice rose white to mix with the grayish clouds. His heart pounded in his breast. At the edges of his exhausted mind, a whispering of desire called, taunting, drawing.
Ghosts?
He strained to listen, but the blood rushing in his veins blotted the sound. Wolf Dreamer settled on a snow-encrusted rock, studying the gash cut by the big river. Even now, when the long dark closed its freezing grip on the land, water roared and pitched, an incessant outpouring.
So much.
Suddenly, he spied something black and twisted rolling out in the water, swirling in an eddy, catching on the rapids' washed rock. Curious, Wolf Dreamer worked his way down the polished top of the ridge, carefully moving along the piled boulders. The dark spot swirled, battered, one horn broken off even with the skull. A leg had been violently ripped from the body.
Buffalo, did you come through underneath? Somewhere, on the other side, there's a place where buffalo live.
Hope swelled within as he felt the tendrils of Wolf's promise twine through him. Balancing, he leapt from rock to rock until he made it to the snagged buffalo. Grasping a torn hoof, he dragged the remains of the animal out of the river.
Maybe you didn't come underneath. You could have been frozen here for hundreds of long darks.
Twilight glimmered brassy from the white crests of water rushing around his feet. Heart beating, light failing, Wolf Dreamer used a chert flake from his pouch to cut open the gut cavity. Entrails bulged out in blue-gray ropes. He sliced open the paunch, green matter spilling onto the gravel and ice. A tapeworm twisted and wiggled in the pile of gut matter.
How long does the tapeworm live when it's frozen? Think how to find out.
He laid the parasite on the fresh dusting of snow, then began dismembering the huge buffalo. He poked and prodded, finding none of the deep joints frozen. They numbed his fingers, but still weren't as cold as they should have been had they been trapped in the water under the ice. The gut, he thought, carried a slight trace of heat. He turned back to the tapeworm. It had stuck to the snow, breaking in two as he lifted it. With some of the thin hide from the buffalo's groin, he bound up the parasite and turned his tracks for Heron's. In his own mind, no doubt remained. In all their talks, Perrin had never mentioned long-horned buffalo in the valley. No, this beast came from somewhere else, beyond the ice. Sitting beside a crackling fire in Heron's shelter, Wolfdreamer stared at the tapeworm he'd thawed. It had died on the ice. His eyes raised to stare absently at one of the drawings on the rock. Beneath the soot stains and dust, he could make out the effigy. A web drawn in a spiral. A fist knotted in his gut, a curious shimmering hazing the edges of his vision.
Why did Heron draw that in red all those years ago? What does it mean? Why a web?
He shook his head vigorously, snapping his concentration back to the dead tapeworm. Heron stretched out on her side across the fire, head propped on one hand, dark eyes watching him.
What are you thinking?
That tapeworms don't live after they've been frozen.
Then
there's no way the buffalo could have been frozen.
What else did you notice?
His paunch was full of green stuff. Grass, plants, a couple of late-blooming flowers. His summer coat was just beginning to thicken, and the tapeworms were alive.
What do you think that means?
There's a place on the other side of the ice where buffalo live.
You say he felt warm?
Maybe. My fingers were cold. I couldn't really tell, but the gut seemed to feel warmer. How long would a buffalo take to go cold? He had to have been under there for a while. The body was all ripped up, like it had been caught, pulled loose a dozen times.
Caught under there? So he came through,
A hole. In the ice.
In the firelight, the muscles of his smooth jaw quivered. Poised on the balls of his feet, One Who Cries dodged to the side. The enraged mammoth cow spun, wheeling, trunk high to scent Wind Woman, little eyes hot and black in her shaggy head. The dart Singing Wolf had so carefully crafted was buried into her flesh near the anus, where the hide was thin. The shaft itself separated, the main part falling back to earth, the lethal point and foreshaft deeply embedded in the beast, continuing to slice tissue as the animal moved. The cow whirled on her feet, trunk whipping back and forth as she sought her tormentor. One Who Cries bent low, zigzagging between the walls of shale that thrust up around him. Seeing his chance, he scrambled for the long dart shaft, grabbing it up, sprinting for the safety of the rocks. The cow caught a glimpse of him and charged forward. She stopped on the verge of bad footing, questing with her trunk. Heart pounding so hard he thought it would break his ribs, One Who Cries waited, safely out of reach.
Gotta goad her. Make her madder.
Catch me, old mother!
Dancing, he sailed a flat, hand-sized slab of rock to pelt her in the face. He jumped a tilted gray slab and rolled to one side, crabbing through the narrow crevice as the berserk mammoth circled, gouging the resisting ground with her tusks, flinging ripped moss and grass to the air. One Who Cries fitted the last of his four shafts into the dart body, twisting it into place, checking quickly to make sure it sat in the shaft straight.
That's it! Chase me! Come on! Be mad, mother! Mad to the point of blood rage!
He dodged to one side. The cow tore the frozen ground as she wheeled to follow. One Who Cries leapt, his last dart in hand, and lashed it forward. The dart shot true, planting itself in the thinner hide behind the jaw. The spent shaft separated and fell away. Head up, trunk extended, the berserk mammoth rushed forward. One Who Cries ran for the edge of the rocks. He made it, turning the corner. Legs pumping, he bounded along the edge of the drop-off. One last jump taking him to firmer ground. Heart thundering, he looked back, seeing the cow round the bend. She slid forward, legs locked. The undercutting excavations the men had dug from the permafrost collapsed. One Who Cries climbed up over the rocks, peering carefully over the drop-off. The red-haired trunk quivered, then went still, blood leaking from the mammoth's mouth.
Thank you, Mother, for your life which will sustain us.
Thought she had you for a second there at the beginning.
One Who Cries glanced over at Singing Wolf as he approached, then looked down at the dead cow.
Yes, she almost got me. I'll relive that moment forever.
Singing Wolf stood on the hill with Green Water, Laughing Sunshine, and the rest coming up as well. They would all begin the butchering process, rendering the huge cow for all they could take before beginning the long trek back to Heron's Valley. One Who Cries regarded the carcass as he wiped sweat from his brow.
Another hand's breadth, Mother, and you'd have stomped me into red mush. Blessed stars, there's got to be an easier way.
Somberly, he climbed down to kneel by the mammoth's huge head and stroke it gently. From the sacred pouch hanging around his neck, he took the special amulets and touched them to the mammoth.
May the blessed star people welcome you home, Mother.
The new darts had worked. Never had One Who Cries driven a point so deeply into animal flesh before. Singing Wolf climbed down near One Who Cries and cut one of the four shafts from the carcass, nodding as he examined the depth of the wound.
Still got a problem with the hafting. Can you make the point thinner at the base?
No, it'll break too easy on impact. I tried that, remember?
Maybe a longer point. Not quite as wide as this one.
Thought you said the people didn't make different styles of points.
Singing Wolf shrugged, sheepishly. Long strips of meat covered the rocks. One Who Cries worked by Green Water, splitting long bones, helping pile the rich marrow on the greasy hide to be rendered for fat. Dancing Fox tended the hot rocks, carefully pouring liquid fat into intestines the way Green Water had taught her. It was such a tricky process. She couldn't let the gut bag burn, but she had to get the fat hot enough to run. One of the people's bear dogs slunk forward, trying to steal some food.
Hey! Bad dog! Maybe we're better off without him, cousin.
You'd rather carry everything on your back, huh?
Singing Wolf rolled his eyes at One Who Cries and shrugged.
No. And this time the dogs can sniff out bears for us, too. Guess we won't have to worry so much about being eaten alive.
One Who Cries nodded. Pensively, he looked up at the thick clouds rolling in from the northwest. Already they'd had snow, but the grasses had grown this year, curing brown on the stem. The fat on the mammoth's back, where Singing Wolf exposed it, was a foot thick, and the meat beneath was rich with the white deposits. With bloody fat globules sticking to his forearms, Singing Wolf bent to his task again. Nearby, Green Water paused in her task of tying the fat-packed intestines into manageable links. She glanced at Dancing Fox at her side.
You know, I believe Blueberry's stories about the mammoth people. Even if Raven Hunter says she's lying.
I told you he was crazy.
Singing Wolf isn't convinced. He might be heartsick at the things Raven Hunter led the young men to do, but he's not convinced Raven Hunter's wrong in fighting for these lands.
He's going to get himself killed.
One Who Cries glanced at the women as their conversation made worry lines tighten his mouth.
He's going to get all of us killed.
Green Water gave her husband a soothing look, but he turned his attention to Laughing Sunshine and Curlew Song, who, some yards away, sliced long strips of meat from the shoulder and walked to lay them across the willow tops. There, the meat would freeze dry for the next couple of weeks. From the corner of his eye, One Who Cries watched Curlew Song. Young and pretty, she kept glancing up at Jumping Hare where he worked to peel the thick hide back from the mammoth's ribcage, as Singing Wolf continued to cut at the stringy gray tissue that bound the hide to the body. She kept the young man's spirits up, kept a new shine in his eye to make up for the loss of his mother, Greyrock. He'd taken her for a wife upon his return from warring with the others. She'd come from Buffalo Back's camp, a woman of the Seagull clan. He'd wanted her as a first wife. Then he had married Moonwater, a captive he'd taken in a raided camp. Everywhere, camps of the people had taken in the new women captured from the others. The elderly women worked hard to teach them the legends and myths, to make them one with the people, even though they would always be second-class wives. The captives learned. They remained, for the most part, sullen, angry, servicing their new husbands with resignation. Still, many continued to try to run away. Moonwater bent to her burden, looking sullenly up at Jumping Hare, a smoldering fire in her eyes. She'd be trouble. One who cries could feel it. Nevertheless, her lithe body and the way she moved with undulating grace drew his eye. A brief fantasy of stripping her, running his hands over her high, full breasts, parting her firm legs, played through his mind. He felt himself.
Ow!
Startled, he shot a quick glance at Greenwater. She doubled her fist, eyes knowing.
Just daydreaming?
Sure. Better that be all you do with her.
Greenwater bared her teeth a little, but she couldn't keep the twinkle from her eye. One Who Cries grinned sheepishly and went to gather another armload of fat as Singing Wolf cut it loose. Greenwater looked at the growing pile of fat as One Who Cries dropped the greasy slab.
How long?
He stood, easing the crick in his back, trying to wipe the gobs of fat from his thick fingers.
Another week, maybe two. The freeze will be hard in the ground by then. Snow won't be that deep, and we can walk into the deep cold. There'll be good travel then.
The sooner the better. I'm worried.
So am I. They'll strike back. According to Blueberry, they have to.
I think she's seen a lot more of the others than Ravenhunter. I listened to her talk, and I think the men should heed what she says. If half of what she says is true...
We're in deep trouble.
One Who Cries glanced over to where Blueberry was taking time to nurse her child. Greenwater nudged him, humorous reproach in her eyes.
The child will grow up as one of us.
Can you believe Ravenhunter wanted to kill it? You'd think he'd learn.
He's crazy.
I hope he's not as crazy as Dancing Fox says.
Incidentally, I noticed that you told most of the band leaders how to find Heron's Valley.
If the others come this winter, as many of them as Blueberry says, we've only got one way to go.
And if there's no way out of Heron's Valley?
Well, maybe Heron can dream them away, huh? Yeah.
The air cut cleanly through One Who Cries' lungs. To the north, a somber bank of clouds rolled down from the salt water. A nasty storm from the looks of it.
People!
Singing Wolf stood up, looking to the north, shading his eyes with a blood-caked hand. Jumping Hare let the hide slide loose, craning his neck back and forth to see.
Looks like three falls. What's he doing here? Thought he'd gone off with Sheep Whistle to hunt up north.
I see Mouse. I'd know her walk. Broke her leg that time when Strike's lightning's dart didn't kill that buffalo along the salt water. There's more, too. Lots of the people behind them.
Greenwater stood and frowned, disquiet clouding her eyes.
Husband, I don't think this is good. Go see.
One Who Cries nodded agreement, picked up his darts, and trotted around the rock outcrop where he'd taunted the mammoth cow. Three Falls walked in the lead of the group, a huddle of women behind him bent under flat-looking packs hitched by tump lines. They paced wearily, followed by one or two more hunters to the rear. Then came others, more bundled figures topping the horizon, walking bent against the skyline. The ones in the rear didn't look well as they limped along. One Who Cries walked forward, a sense of wrongness twisting inside him.
Three Falls, welcome. Come, we've killed Mammoth. We can feast you in real style.
A ripple of relief seemed to run through the group. Mouse, hair cut short in mourning for Strike's lightning, lifted her head, a bit more bounce in her walk. Her young infant peeked out from her hood, a tiny face beside hers. Behind her, a little girl toddled. More came, some still straggling over the hilltop to the north.
There goes our winter supply of meat.
Three Falls lifted grateful hands in the gesture of relief.
We'll enjoy your feast, One Who Cries, and offer thanks to the blessed Star People for your shelter.
I don't see much in the way of packs. The dogs aren't loaded. Isn't that big mouth back there limping? Is he hurt?
A dart wound. We had a wonderful hunt. Caught a herd of doll sheep in a little valley. Perfect. We'd butchered most of the carcasses, built caches so the permafrost would keep the meat. Thought we'd stay there all winter with the others, driven off and all.
What happened?
The blessed Star People saved us, my friend. Just luck. One of the young men was running to tell Ravenhunter and Crowcaller that we'd made enough meat to feed many. He saw the others first, ran back, and warned us. Let me tell you, they fight better now. Killed four of the hunters who went out to drive them off. There were so many of them, old friend, so many, so fierce. We could no more drive them off than stop Wind Woman. But our position in the hills was good, so we didn't get slaughtered.
How'd you find us?
Sheep Whistle told us which way you'd gone. We'd hoped you'd give us help.
Is Sheep Whistle here? He taught me the old stories.
He's gone, my friend. Maybe later, tonight or tomorrow, we'll gather to sing his soul to the Blessed Star People.
How did it happen?
The others... Well, the dart caught him low, just above his manhood. Bad wound, that. Gut juices got into him. He started to stink and swelled up. We carried him for as long as we could.
And your camp?
The others moved into it. I and some of the rest of Sheep Whistle's band, we came to make sure the women will be safe. Then we're going after the others to pay them back.
Last time you paid them back, they didn't stay paid. Give it up. Too many have died already. Look at the women with their hair all cut short. It's got to end someplace.
Feast me and my warriors tonight, one who cries. Feast us well. Then we'll avenge our lost relatives.
Sounds like Ravenhunter talking through your mouth.
He's a leader.
Maybe.
We need warriors. You'll come? You and Singing Wolf and Jumping Hare?
No.
But we have to...
No!
You don't care about the murders of people you loved.
We care about the living. Singing Wolf, Jumping Hare, and I have talked about it already. We were afraid this would happen. We're going south to follow the wolf's dream. If you really want your women and children to be safe, come with us.
Three Falls hesitated, glanced at his people, then shook his head.
We must go back. It's... honor.
Honor?
Three Falls straightened, eyes brightening fiercely.
Honor.
He raised his darts in emphasis. A wrenching feeling of foreboding lashed at one who cries. He bowed his head and nodded slowly. His people grew more like the others every day. The people snaked along over the undulating hills. Snow already hoared the northern slopes. Father Son's path sank closer to the horizon every day. The drainages they crossed were blanketed with frost-slick leaves that crackled beneath their feet. Dancing Fox adjusted the tump line, biting into her forehead, and glared at Mouse's back. The woman grated on her nerves like weathered slate against flesh. Talon, who walked several paces ahead of Fox, turned and grinned as though reading her thoughts, then waved her forward. She trotted to catch up. Mouse scowled at Dancing Fox and pointed to the back of the line with a stern finger.
Get away! Walk back there.
I walk where I please.
Your soul is cursed. I don't want you around my baby. You walk behind. Give us decent people some peace.
Dancing Fox moved like lightning. As the woman struggled, Dancing Fox leaned close, peering into her eyes.
The man who cursed me is a false dreamer. He has no power. That means his curse was meaningless.
Dancing Fox tightened her grip. The woman futilely batted at her face.
You are not better than I am. Understand?
She shoved Mouse backward hard.
Crazy!
Dancing Fox smiled grimly, making the woman take another step back.
Remember that. There's no telling what I might do if I'm crossed.
Coolly, she turned on her heel and walked on, aware of Singing Wolf running back to see what the commotion was all about. She had no more trouble with Mouse, that night or any other. But she noticed that when any of the other women were near, they kept their eyes lowered out of respect or fear. Only Talon looked at her, winking in silent endorsement. Dancing Fox walked straighter, weapons held proudly.
Wolf Dreamer floated in the hot spring, Heron's presence buoying him, enfolding him. The lapping of the waves caressed his naked flesh.
Lose yourself in the song. Free yourself. Move with the sounds. Dream this world away. It doesn't exist. Nothing exists but the dance.
The dance.
He leaned back in the water until it stroked his ears. He shifted his concentration to the wavering sounds, imagining himself dancing to the cadence. Wolf Dreamer blinked, lost, the world out of focus. He sat in Heron's shelter. His senses whirled with familiar shapes and smells. The skulls glared sightlessly at him, observing his very soul. The acrid odor of the geyser clogged his nose.
Not the pool?
He looked around, seeing Broken Branch, where she huddled in the far corner, a bright spark in her eyes. He looked back at Heron, who held his gaze.
Not the pool. Look at your hand.
He glanced down. An angry red blister rose from the center of his palm. The flesh seared. As he looked, bright pain brought tears to his eyes. Heron kept her taloned grip on his wrist, unperturbed. She rubbed grease mixed with herbs on the burn, binding his hand carefully.
I see the question in your eyes. What happened? I put a coal on your hand, Wolf Dreamer. You never knew when it burned you. You know what that means?
I found my dance.
That you did.
But the coal burned me.
Yes. You only shifted your mind. You didn't dance with the fire.
Then why'd you put the coal in my hand?
I wanted to see where you were.
Why couldn't you wait and ask me?
It's not the same. And you're not far enough along yet.
Wolf Dreamer flexed his searing palm and gave her a rueful look.
I can see that.
You see, to truly dance, you need to dance with everything around you, not just yourself. Then you have to become the dance to touch the one. Then stop the...
But I made another step.
Yes, another step, Wolf Dreamer. Another step. But I wonder, will we have time?
What do you mean?
She blinked, eyes on a distance only she could see. A shiver ran down his back.
Things are happening too fast. I wanted another couple of years. We may not even have all of this one. Next summer may even be too late.
For what?
She frowned, the lines in her ancient forehead deepening.
A terrible dream rolled over me last night. I couldn't really see the images. They were fuzzy. But I felt the truth beneath them.
What truth?
They're coming. They'll be here before we turn around.
The others?
Something worse than them. Some terrible darkness. I couldn't see clearly.
Like the darkness I saw. How much time do we have?
I don't know.
How can we find out? If I'm not far enough along...
She bowed her head for a moment, then looked into his face without trying to hide the fear in her eyes.
I wonder if I'm still strong enough.
Reluctantly, she got to her feet and reached toward a high niche in the stone wall. Her hands trembled suddenly, and she retracted them, rubbing the sweaty palms on her dress as she stared wide-eyed at the crevice.
What is it? Can I get it for you?
No! Only I can touch them.
Again, she lifted her hands, wetting her lips anxiously as she reached into the niche to take down a carefully folded foxhide bundle. Dread prickled up Wolf Dreamer's spine. He rose and stood next to her as she carefully unwrapped each of the leather folds, exposing thin, shriveled black things.
What are those?
Mushrooms. Remember? I showed you last summer. The ones growing where I dump the gut piles. Powerful things. They live off death. Grow out of rot and corruption. Rebirth, Wolf Dreamer. Treat them with respect. Power grows in them.
He squinted at her, heart beginning to thunder in his chest.
You said they'd kill me.
They will. You're not ready for them.
Why not?
You haven't seen the dancer yet. You understand?
No.
Can the mushroom kill you if you're the mushroom? Can you kill the mushroom if the mushroom is you?
The one.
Yes. The most powerful dreaming of all must be shared with this little plant. Father-son's joke, the mushroom. Colorless. It grows from death in the dark. It brings life and light. Rebirth. These will let your soul go beyond the dance to the...
What if I come out of the dream and...
And find yourself nowhere?
Something like that?
Then you'll know you're there.
Where?
Nowhere.
And what will that do for my dreaming?
If you can find nowhere, the hole inside you, then you'll be able to juggle fire without being burned and handle the poison. Yes, I see it in your eyes. You understand.
In the hole, the mushroom and I will be one?
That's right. The ultimate dreaming. Dreaming while you hover over death. And through it all, your body rebels. There's pain, sickness, vile sickness. And you have to go deep. Deep into your very blood. And dream beyond the union of you and the mushroom. Be both and neither.
He clenched his fists unconsciously, not even feeling the scream of his recent burn.
When can I try?
Maybe never, for all I know. And time's so much shorter than I thought. Raven Hunter defies the dream. Your brother has an extraordinary power in his own way. Different.
He doesn't dream.
Not like you, but something. He has a power all his own. An innate ability to dream his will into other men's minds. To glimpse the way things might become. He's dangerous.
Can I stop him?
I don't know. The two of you and the other, your father, are the future of the people. Unless something is done, Raven Hunter will destroy the people from within while your father destroys them from without. And you have to find the hole inside before you'll be able to find the one in the big ice to save them.
What about this darkness you saw in your dream? Is it?
It's something else. Worse. It'll swallow all of us. The others, the people.
Then we have to find out what it is before we can fight it. When will I...
He swallowed the rest of what he was going to say and pointed at the ominous mushrooms with his bandaged hand. In a quick, violent motion, Heron rewrapped them and clutched them to her breast.
Don't even touch them. A taste, a lick of the tainted fingers, and you'll die horribly. The life-sucking spirits of the Long Dark would be a pleasure next to this. I can't risk your life.
But the bundle drew his eyes, holding them like an eagle draws the stare of a hare. Ravenhunter motioned the old man in, indicating a seat. Crowcaller settled himself with the care of the elderly, arranging his hides, smoothing the folds of his outer parka. His good eye took in the surroundings, the smoke-stained poles supporting the hide walls and roof, the carefully placed weapons, the bundled wolf hides and caribou robes. Several brown bundles lay stacked to the side. Ravenhunter offered a cup of tea in a carefully crafted horn made from the forward boss of a doll sheep.
Here, old teacher.
Crowcaller sipped it down and pointed to the stew simmering in the paunch bag over the fire.
I haven't eaten tonight.
Please, fill your cup.
The old shaman smiled and scooped up some stew.
Very good. What did you want to see me about?
Three Falls has arrived. Sheep Whistle's band has been attacked by the others. I want your blessing to take the young men and hit them in their camps. They won't expect a fight in the deep of the Long Dark.
Crowcaller fingered his chin.
The young men shouldn't risk dying in the Long Dark. What of their souls,
Souls, Crowcaller? What of their future, our future? Where does it all end? The others will kill us or absorb us. Three Falls sent a youth to watch the others who took Sheep Whistle's camp. They, too, keep the young women they capture. Is that the future, Crowcaller? Our women bearing their young? More like Blueberry?
You have too much ambition for such a young man. Aren't an elder's words enough for you?
He started to stand. Ravenhunter gently pushed him back to the ground.
Of course, I'm ambitious. I'm the salvation of the people. Do you dream anything else?
I dream many things.
Let's be honest, you and I. I've been keeping track of your dreams. Remember the prophecy at Mammoth Camp? All the hunters sinking darts into the calves? Hasn't happened yet. You dreamed the birth of Strikes Lightning's first son, remember? All that wondrous talk of him cradling the boy in his arms? It was another girl. Strikes Lightning is dead. Mouse has gone to One Who Cries his camp. And then there was the dream about the...
Sometimes dreams change.
And sometimes the important thing is that people believe whether dreams are true or not.
Are you accusing me of lying?
Ravenhunter toyed with a dark foreshaft, avoiding the shaman's eyes.
I wouldn't want you and me to be enemies, old teacher. It wouldn't be good for the people.
Crowcaller digested that, hard lines forming around his mouth.
What are you after?
You never really backed my raids against the others.
I've never spoken out against them, either.
True. And I respect a man who waits to see where his best interests lie. But the time has come for you to decide.
He leaned close, staring into the old man's good eye. The old man glared back defiantly. But after a few moments, his stare wavered and fell.
What do you want?
Are you with me? Or against me?
Why do you need my backing?
Enthusiasm for war during the Long Dark will be... How do I say it? Lacking? No one wants to fight when the spirits might suck a man's soul away.
And a shaman's approval might make the difference.
Approval and promises of protection.
And if I don't support this...
A complete recounting of the times your dreams were wrong could become the center of the people's gossip. Some might begin to openly mock you. Derision is the dreamer's worst enemy.
You're threatening me?
No. I'm trying to give you enough information so you can decide quickly that your best interests are in supporting me.
My powers reach far and wide. I have ways, uses for bits of hair, nail clippings, scraps of clothing. I know how to draw a man's soul out of his body and send it scurrying into the Long Dark. I can...
Shall we publicly test that?
What do you mean?
Ravenhunter reached for his personal spirit bundle. He held it out as he looked at the old shaman with dark, glittering eyes.
I'll give you this tomorrow where everyone can see. Then we'll all wait, the entire camp, to see what's stronger. Your curse is on me or my soul. Do you want to see that happen?
Crowcaller squirmed, eyes darting nervously, trying to look anywhere but at the bundle.
It would serve no purpose.
Come. Let's be honest, old teacher. Friend. We, who have so much to offer each other, shouldn't be adversaries.
You want to split the people? Make more disharmony when the others are raiding and killing us?
No. I want unity. But that won't happen until you and I are on the same side.
A long silence passed as Crowcaller's face lined with uneasy thought. Ravenhunter waited patiently. The old man's shoulders slowly slumped.
I'll help you.
I knew you would. Have more stew, my friend. You and I, we shall remold the people.
So young, yet so powerful. Where does this come from when I, with all my wisdom, must work so hard for dreams I cannot trust?
Your power will return, old friend, now that you've decided to fight to save the people. I'm sure Father Sun doubted your devotion before, and that's why it fled. It'll be back.
Maybe.
I'm sure of it.
And you think this war against the others will succeed? You think you can drive them back once and for all?
Truthfully, I don't know. But we'll make them think twice. Convince them there are easier fates than facing the people. Suppose Blueberry's right. If there are more people pushing the others, and we make them bleed enough, maybe they'll go back and retake the lands they've been pushed out of.
Blueberry also said there were many, many others. More than we could kill. More than we could scare.
Then we'll die anyway. At least waging war will buy us time.
Time for what?
Who knows? Maybe for my silly brother to find the hole in the big ice. Maybe for the Star People to curse...
Oh, there is no hole.
Then we'd better be able to push the others back.
How can I help?
The people have grown slothful. We have to harden them. Make them tough and resilient so they have the heart to fight. With your dreams of our success, Tabui spirits, we'll raid and win, living off the bounty of the others' hunt, begetting more young men from their women.
You upset the ways of the people, killing and...
We don't have a choice, until your power returns and you can dream another way out for us.
I don't think...
Ravenhunter slammed a fist into the hides he sat on, a crazed look welling in his eyes. He leaned close to Crowcaller, twisting his head curiously.
What if I do turn the people's way upside down? It'll be much worse if we give up and let the others kill us. How will one of our women feel when some sweaty other is parting her legs and making her his second wife?
I still don't like it.
You know of another way? Tell me. I'll listen.
We've no place to go but into the big ice. And runs in light, I refuse to call him Wolf Dreamer. Well, I'll die of another's dart before I lend anything to him. I'll tell the young men to go with you. I'll make power for them. Make it so they know they'll go to the Blessed Star People if they die.
Ravenhunter nodded, a knowing glint in his eye. He smiled and held up a dart point, admiring the way the fire made it gleam.
I thought you would. We'll do well together, you and I.
Indeed, we'll do well. And your power will return, old friend. Just wait.
One other thing. You've got an interest in Dancing Fox.
Ravenhunter shrugged and shifted his gaze to stare at his spirit bundle, tracing the magical lines drawn on the hide with his eyes while he contemplated his answer.
Does that bother you? You threw her out.
You argued for her life.
One day she'll be my wife. I've seen it. I've also seen a powerful child springing from her womb. I'm sure it's mine.
You've dreamed?
Besides, she amuses me. And despite her shame, there is no other woman who draws me so.
Dreams? But you're nothing but a boy, just like that brother of yours.
Ravenhunter clenched the dart shaft, muscles bunching on his forearm.
Beware, Crowcaller. There are worse things than the spirits of the Long Dark. The time when you could call me boy are long gone.
I meant no harm. Friends shouldn't snap at each other. Not when so much is at stake for the people, eh?
And Dancing Fox?
What do I care? She would have left me to go with Runs in Light eventually anyway.
Ravenhunter nodded, looking with half-lidded eyes at Crowcaller.
Then we understand each other.
Sitting cross-legged in her shelter, a small crackling fire before her, Heron wearily rubbed the back of her neck. Wavering shadows crept over her collection of skulls, accenting the hollow eye sockets and glistening fangs of wolves and bears. The human skull studied her soberly, a macabre understanding in its empty orbits.
Yes, you know. The dead see so clearly. Only we who live
constantly blind ourselves with trivialities. Tell me, noble dead, will I be strong enough? Can I make the transition to the dancer? Or will I fail again? Tell me, kind dead, what vision fills your...
Broken Branch ducked under the hangings, head cocked as she looked at Heron.
He's gone. I walked him down the trail to that big boulder.
Heron nodded, fumbling nervously with the hem of her caribou skirt as she looked away from the skull. Broken Branch followed the path of her gaze, jaw working uneasily as her eyes slitted.
I couldn't have him here. Not now. This is too important. I wouldn't want him to see.
Broken Branch shifted uncomfortably on her swollen feet.
You scare me when you talk like that.
I scare myself.
Heron studied her old nemesis, smiling at the dart-sharp nose and sagging flesh.
You know, I've almost forgiven you.
Well, don't waste your time. I've never needed it.
You didn't, maybe, but I did. Oh, I've had a wound inside me for a lot of years. I feel better now that I sort of like you.
Broken Branch waved it away, waddling over to kneel by the fire, hands extended.
Save your breath. I loved Bear Hunter. If we could turn back time, dream ourselves back there again, I'd do it all over. Had a lot of good years with him until he was killed.
Heron rubbed her forearms, trying to loosen the muscles cramping with the increasing tension in her breast.
Why did you come back? You could be relaxing in some young hunter's lodge now. It wouldn't be a bad life. They'd feed you for the stories and for the raising of their young. Elders are respected, well cared for among the people. But you're here. You've been quiet, gathering wood, cooking, preparing food for storage. Such things aren't like you, Broken Branch.
Hi! What do you know of me? Not like me, you say? I saw his eyes, Heron. You understand? The dream. The wolf dream was there. Powerful. It touched my soul, wound me up, and sent me falling into a dream of my own. It's for the people that I came back. For him. So you could teach him.
Why me? You don't even like...
Hush, you old hag. No matter what's behind us, you're still the best. The only dreamer the people have left who can teach.
He'll be powerful. Better than me one day. If he lives.
Broken Branch's joints cracked as she pulled another section of willow from the pile she'd laboriously hauled in over the long weeks of summer.
If? That got anything to do with that dream you had last night?
Heron stared sightlessly at the fire.
Sights. Sounds. Something bad's happening with the people. Beyond the people. I don't know. But many are coming. Stragglers walking up over the hills by the big river. In front comes one who cries. Singing wolf. And women I don't know. Behind them, a dozen bands are following, all fleeing to us.
Trouble?
Deep fear. It hangs over them as they walk. In the dream, I saw something growing in the dark. Like Grandfather Brown Bear, it filled the clouds, hidden there in the blackness, reaching down, huge paws hovering in the air, waiting.
The same thing Wolf Dreamer saw?
I think so.
Can you drive it off?
There's more. Raven Hunter walks north, skirting around a huge pool of blood. Many young men follow on his heels. As the long dark grows, so does his power over them. Even some of the young women go with him, their darts on their backs, singing chants while Crowcaller blesses them, filling them with his claims of power and protection from the spirits of the Long Dark. And beyond, on the other side of the blood pool, lie the camps of the others, lit by shafts of glowing light, bars of color like that shed by the monster children, fighting in the sky.
I don't understand.
I don't either. That's why I woke Wolfdreamer up last night. I had to talk to him.
You told him more than just about the dream. The yellow rock from the geyser, the white crystals from under the mammoth dung, the herbs for medicine.
They might come in handy. He'll have to know one of these days. He's learned a lot, more than he can even imagine. I just hope he knows enough.
You act like you're not going to be around to finish teaching him.
Maybe not.
What are you talking about?
All my life, from the time I left Bear Hunter, I've been in control of things, even if it was just observation. But the world is changing. People are dying, and I don't understand it.
You can't understand everything in the world, Heron. Father, son, maid.
Ah, but I can see the patterns, old woman. At least I used to be able to. But they're all jumbled up now. Broken and scattered, like caribou bones in the spring. The old dream paths are blocked. The new ones, terrifying. Something's coming. I won't sit here and wait for it. No, old woman. I'm a seeker. I'll know what it is before it comes to swallow me.
Spirit knowledge took the place of Bear Hunter, eh?
Their eyes held, Heron's going soft and watery.
Yes.
That's why you sent the boy away. You're going to fight this thing.
He'd distract me. Maybe see something he's not ready for yet. Canny, that one. Sees things too clearly for his ear sometimes. No, he might be hurt by all this.
What are you going to do?
Hush! I need to see! Don't you understand?
You need to see? What of it?
You. You're of it.
Heron arched her back, filling her lungs deeply, beginning the preparation.
I'm of it.
Unfortunately.
What do you...
Go stay below the pool. I don't know. Don't know how long it'll take, but don't come back until I call you. Understand? If you were to interrupt, break my concentration, I don't know what might happen.
Broken Branch got slowly to her feet, shaking her head.
Oh, you're crazy, old Curlew, Heron. I'm going. Do your dreaming, you old...
Broken Branch.
What?
About Bear Hunter.
Broken Branch pursed her lips, dropping her eyes.
I was young then. The juices of life ran hot in my body. My heart ached for him. What I did...
Did you make him happy?
He never bedded another... When he went hunting, he ran all the way home to be with me and our children. We talked, laughed. Our children all lived to have families of their own. He used to love to rock the grandchildren on his knees at night.
How did he die?
Oh, it was quick. Mammoth swung his trunk. Bear Hunter lost his footing and couldn't get out of the way.
I could never have given them the things you did. Dreamers can never really love, Broken Branch. It's a curse, you see. Dreamers who love destroy themselves, or those they love. It's a fatal flaw. I tried to tell Wolf Dreamer. I hope he understands.
Either he did or he didn't. You tried.
Heron nodded, smiling wistfully a moment before her face grew solemn once more.
Get out of here. Whatever you hear, whatever you see, leave me alone. Understand? Alone.
or you'll kill me.
I'll not meddle in your dreams, Aaron.
She lifted the hide flaps and disappeared into the bright midday sun. Heron watched the flap wave slowly back and forth. She hesitated, dread making her hands tremble.
Get up, you old fool! There's no other way.
Jaw thrust forward, she stood, reaching for the hide bundle of mushrooms. Gently, she laid it near the fire, then grasped her bundle of willow stems, rich and red, and threw a handful into the gut bag of water hanging from the tripod near the fire. As they absorbed the water, their pungent scent filled the shelter. She slowly unwrapped the bundle and stared at the mushrooms.
How long has it been? It was the night Wolf Dreamer called to me from the mists. You remember, don't you?
The mushrooms glowed darkly in the flames as if hearing her words.
We wrestled like two bears. Almost killed me. Remember?
She jerked her eyes from the mushrooms and poked the fire with a stick, getting the coals to even out. At the fringes of her consciousness, she could feel the presence of broken branch out below the pool. A distraction, still a distraction.
Concentrate. She won't disturb you. She said she wouldn't.
Heron turned to stare at the mushrooms as they called her, beckoning like a lover.
I'm coming.
Tears welled powerfully. With shaking hands, she reached for the soaked willow stems and cast the first handful into the flames. Steam and sacred smoke twisted through the soot-thick vent above. Dropping her face in her hands, Heron fought the terror writhing in her breast.